Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your patience. I'm starting a bit late, trying to upload the slides. But for those who are here, thank you for joining us again. This is the AP Railo APEC Hub webinar series under the APEC, well, AP Railo APEC Hub collaboration framework. So we're rolling out a series of webinars. This is the fourth one already. And for today, we'll be talking about the new GTLD program. We're very lucky to have Steve Chan, Senior Policy Manager, Policy Development in ICANN. He will go through the background to the new GTLD program as well as the policy development process. So for those who are unsure of the PDP behind this, please stay tuned to his presentation. And after that, we'll have Yoshitaka Murakami, who's the senior consultant from Brights Consulting, based in Japan. He will give us a case study, well, several case studies and examples on how the companies and communities are using the new GTLDs. So this will be very interesting for everyone to see how people around the world are using these new GTLDs, some of the marketing ideas that people can think up with. So without further ado, I'm not sure if the slides are out yet, but I think I can go ahead with some of the housekeeping rules before we go to the speakers. There you go. So let me just scroll down. Okay. Just some housekeeping rules. The Q&As, if you have some questions during the webinar, we will actually have a Q&A pod. You can put your questions in. And we'll have dedicated time at the end of the webinar to answer your questions. If there is not enough time to answer some of these questions, we'll send it back to the speakers and we'll have them answered and post them online in the webinar's wiki page. We will also have pop quiz as per usual in this webinar series. And so stay tuned to that. At the end of the survey, we've started implementing this in the last webinar. We will have a few questions, and we will ask you to answer them. I think we will give you about a minute or two for each question. Your answers will be anonymous. So please stay to the end, right to the end of the webinar to fill in this survey intended to see your feedback and to see how we can make this webinar series better. And so that's it. And without further ado, let me pass the mic to Steve Chan. Steve, over to you.
Thanks, Kelvin. This is Steve Chan from ICANN staff. I support the GNSO policy team. Just hold on. Oh, here they are. So the first slide is the agenda. We'll start with a little bit of background to the new GTLD program. We'll talk about the original policy and how we got to the launch of the new GTLD program. It'll be very brief. But moving on from there, we will talk about the planning for the next round and where we are right now. Basically an overview of what the policy development process, where it is in the steps right now. And agenda item 3 will give you kind of a hint of where we are. We're in 3, we'll be talking about the preliminary issue report. Agenda item 4, we will talk about the next steps and the timeline to get there. And then number 5, we'll talk about how you all can participate in the process. Actually, before I start, just wanted to say thank you for having me. And it's nice to get out of the GNSO bubble and talk to some other folks, so I'm looking forward to hearing from you all. So. Without further ado, moving on to the first slide. This is the background to the new GTLD program. There was a GNSO final report on new GTLDs in 2007, and it provided the principles and recommendations and implementation guidelines for the implementation of a new GTLD program. So that final report was adopted by the GNSO Council in September of 2007. And it was subsequently approved by the ICANN board in June 2008. So upon approval, the implementation took place via the applicant guidebook, which some of you or many of you will know went through many, many versions. I think it was 10, I believe. So it was iteratively designed with quite a bit of community input through ICANN meetings and public comment. And in June 2011, the ICANN board approved the final version of the AGB, or the Applicant Guidebook, as well as the launch of the program for implementation, or sorry, for the launch of the program. On the right hand of the slide, we have the actual launch of the program, which took place in January of 2012, and there were 1,930 complete applications. And the application period closed in June of 2012. And in March of 2013, the first sets of initial evaluation results were released. And if you're not familiar with initial evaluation, it was a series of reviews looking at an applicant or an application's string, as well as the applicant, to make sure that they met the qualifications or the criteria in the applicant guidebook. All of the initial evaluation results were released for all applications that had not withdrawn or left the program for any other reasons by May of 2014. And a pretty current look, actually, as of September 18, 2015, there are 750 TLDs delegated to the root zone, or to the DNS, and there are about 600, or I guess a little less than 600, still proceeding through the program. And you'll see a link there that provides current application program status for applications. And so as you can see, the GDD, or the Global Domains Division, has made quite a bit of progress in the program so far. So it looks like the title of this slide got a little bit cut off, but planning for the next round and where are we now? So if you look at the red circle on this page, we're at the gathering of public comments step, and the public comment is in regards to the preliminary issue report or new GTLD subsequent features. And as you can tell from this graphic, it's pretty early in this process, so we have quite a few steps left. But just to give you a little more context, the GNSO is the sole body responsible for developing policy for, or as in regards to generic top-level domains. So just looking a little bit forward beyond the red circle of gathering public comments, the next step, once the public comment period is over, staff would summarize and analyze the public comments and then make any necessary changes to the issue report. That issue report would then go to the GNSO Council for consideration and the possible initiation of a PDP. And then if and when a PDP was actually initiated for new GTLDs, that's actually the stage where there'd be a call for volunteers and the substantive work of developing policy would begin. I know you guys can't all see the text maybe, or maybe don't have enough time to read this, but if you're curious about the process, I will, at the end of my presentation, go ahead and put the link in the AC room so you guys can do a little bit more research if you'd like to. So still talking about the where we are now, starting with background. The community determined that enough progress had been made in the 2012 round of the new GTLD program, and the GNSO Council formed what is known as a discussion group, whose job was to talk about the 2012 round and their experiences within that round, and to start identifying issues or what's going to be the scope for the scope ended up being for the preliminary issue report, and which will subsequently possibly be the scope for a policy development process. So that discussion group, their final deliverables that serve as the basis for the preliminary issue report, which the GNSO Council requested in June of 2015, which was in Buenos Aires. And so that preliminary issue report is now currently available for public comment with a close date of 30 October, and you can see the link to the public comment page at the bottom of the slide. And so just to provide a little more context about what a preliminary issue report is for, first of all, it's primarily to assist the GNSO Council in making a determination if a policy development process is necessary. But it's also for, in the event that a policy development process is initiated, it's intended to set the stage or provide background and additional information so that the PDP can start with some level of progress and also allow newcomers to the process to have sort of an equal footing, so to speak. So it's intended to accelerate the process once it does start. And so one other point I want to make is that as this policy development process is slated to possibly begin, there is a principle from the 2007 final report on new GTLDs that basically said the original recommendations were designed to produce a systemized and ongoing mechanism for applicants to propose new top-level domains, which in essence means that for subsequent rounds of the new GTLD program, there's an assumption that there will be additional rounds unless the GNSO Council would determine otherwise or if they would seek to modify the existing recommendations. So the recommendations from the 2007 final report, they stand unless they are modified by the GNSO Council. Next slide. So this slide, it provides a quick overview of what's actually in the preliminary issue report. So from the slide, you can tell there are five preliminary groupings that were actually provided discussion group. And so underneath each of these groupings are a number of discrete subjects. And so the discussion group actually identified 38 total subjects. And so I'll run quickly through through the groupings and then a few exemplary subjects under each one. So the first grouping is overall process support and outreach issues. And some of the subjects identified were predictability of the process for applicants, community engagement, in particular in regards to the GAC and ALAC and SAC, et cetera. Whether or not applications should be assessed in rounds or if some other mechanism should be explored. Furthering the support for applicants from developing countries, and there were actually a number of other subjects under this heading. The second subject was legal and regulatory issues. A few of the subjects here are the base contract, registrant protections, in particular when a registry may not meet its obligations under its registry agreement, or if it misses its SLAs or its service level agreements, registrar non-discrimination, global public interest, and closed generics. Grouping three is string contention, objections, and disputes, and underneath there we have subjects such as string similarity, objections, accountability mechanisms, community applications, and a few more. Grouping five is internationalized domain names, which has a single category or a single subject, which was internationalized domain names and universal acceptance. And then finally, we have technical and operations, which focus on security and stability, applicant reviews, and name collisions. So each of these 38 total subjects each of them had detailed analysis. They had four basic sections. One was to talk about and explain the subject. The second was to analyze the issue as observed by the discussion group, by staff, as well as what we've heard from the community. The third category for each subject was providing reference materials that may be taken into account by the GSO Council and those who read the report for public comment. And finally, there's a preliminary staff suggestion on whether subjects warrant policy development. What we tried to do is identify also related work for each subject and possible parallel efforts that might actually supersede or perhaps be a better home for certain subjects. And also certain subjects staff identified that might be beyond the scope of this policy development process. And a very quick example might be the global public interest, which is probably far-reaching than just in the new GTLD program. So additional things in the preliminary issue report, it has an executive summary, of course, and some background, but it also has some initial thoughts on how all these 38 subjects could be organized. For example, the work could be sequential. Each of the 38 subjects could be handled sequentially 1 through 38, which would probably take a long time. However, you could also look at the work and perform it concurrently. Perhaps the five groups could go simultaneously. Perhaps you could focus on certain topics, particularly the policy development-related subjects. Perhaps some could also be broken out for subgroup work, which, for example, could be support for applicants from developing countries, which might not have dependencies on other subjects. So if you have not looked at this report, which I wouldn't be surprised, it's a significant body of work. It's about 140-plus pages of content. And like I said, it's very detailed and it's full of analysis, and the primary reason for that is to allow, if and when there is a policy development process, to allow it to be start and go off and running and allow newcomers to contribute. And so once again, this report is open for public comment, and so I encourage everyone to comment individually or as part of the ALAC or just read it or whatever might be preferable to you. But I think there's actually a pop quiz question now.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and begin our pop quiz question. The question will appear in the top right-hand pod for you. And the pop quiz question is, has the policy development process for new GTLD subsequent rounds begun? Yes or no? Please vote now. Once again, has the policy development process for new GTLD subsequent rounds begun? Yes or no? Steve, if you can go ahead and share the answer.
Thanks, Terry. So I guess this question is a bit of a trick question. So the policy development process, it has distinct phases and definitions for where it is within the process.
Yep.
So we actually haven't started the policy development process as defined in the UNISO policy development process manual. So the answer is actually no here. We have not actually reached that stage. So again, I'll provide a link to the GNSO procedures just so you guys can get a better understanding of the process. So on to the next slide. There's next steps and timeline. As I had mentioned earlier, the preliminary issue report had been published for public comment at the end of August, and it's set to close the public comment period at the end of October, or more specifically, the 30th of October. That would result in a possible delivery of a final issue report as well as the public comment summary and analysis, which would all be developed by ICANN staff. And that would be delivered to the GNS possible action, which specifically would be the initiation of the policy development process for new GTLD subsequent rounds. So if you look a little bit to the right, there's these question mark bubbles where we're not sure when they're going to happen. So as I mentioned, the start of the policy development process has not begun, and so we don't know when and if it will begin. And then if it does begin, there is an initial report of the working group's findings, followed by a public comment period, and then the eventual final report, if and when a policy development process is started. So just to reiterate, we are in the early stages of the process, and so it makes it a little bit difficult to determine when the meaningful milestones will be reached. But beyond these unknowns, there are also these other efforts within the community that are also underway. And so these gray balloons are not in any particular order, and they're not intended to present themselves as dependencies in any particular order. But we have things like the affirmation of commitments reviews. We have a possible PDP on rights protection mechanisms. We have the CCWG on accountability. And then there are actually other new GTLD-related efforts from the supporting organizations and advisory committees. So I think it's really important. It's going to be something that the ICANN community, probably working in conjunction with ICANN board, we're going to have to come together and determine what the critical path looks like for not only completing the policy development process within the GNSO, but also looking further down the road, what steps need to be done and perhaps in what order for also launching the second round. So how can you participate? I had already mentioned that there is a public comment for the preliminary issue report that's currently ongoing and set to close on October 30th, so I encourage you all to at least glance at the report and maybe read through the executive summary. And so if and when a PDP is initiated, all GNSO PDPs are open and transparent and available to anyone who wants to contribute. I had already mentioned that if the PDP is initiated, there will be an initial report that will be subject to public comment. And then also I had mentioned that there are SO and AC efforts underway, which a PDP on new GTLD subsequent procedures would be expected to take into account. And then, as I also mentioned, we'll have to figure out how all these pieces fit together and how we move together as a community. Just a few links and additional information for you to take into account. The first is the archive page for the discussion group, which completed its work and provides its deliverables to the GNSO Council. And again, that's what actually served as the basis for the preliminary issue report. So here's the link again for the issue report. And finally, there's a face-to-face session scheduled for ICANN 54. It's tentatively scheduled for Wednesday. Okay, I forgot the day here. Oh. Wednesday, 10:45 a.m. local time in Liffey, MR2. So for all those that are in Dublin, I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you there. And I think that's actually the last slide. And Terry, I think there's the other pop quiz question here.
Thank you, Steve. I'll go ahead and put up the next pop quiz question. One moment, please. Which of the activities below is most important to complete before the next round of new GTLD programs can be launched? GNSO policy development, affirmation of commitments review, SOAC parallel efforts, all the above, unknown at this stage. Please vote now. Once again, which of the activities below is most important to complete before the next round of the new GTLD program can be launched? The polls are open now. And Steve, if you can go ahead and share the correct answer.
Thanks, Terry. So the answer is unknown at this stage. And I apologize for the question again. So I think I had mentioned that at this stage of the ICANN board and the community, they need to figure out amongst all of these efforts in the community how they should be sequenced, which ones need to be completed before the GSO policy development, and also when the second round could actually launch. I think that's very critical for the community and the ICANN board to determine, and so at this stage it's actually not. And I would also say that, you know, all steps are actually important along the way, so I don't think we're going to end up with any most important. I think every step that's part of the critical path is going to be important. I think that actually concludes my part, so I think I'll hand it back over to, I would guess, Kelvin.
Sure. Steve, thanks for the very informative update on the policy development process as well as the overview of the new GTLD program. Without further ado, I'll just pass the mic to Yoshi from Brights. Yoshi, over to you.
Hi, thank you, Kevin. My name is Yoshi Murakami of Brights Consulting. I'm a senior consultant here, and we're located in Tokyo, Japan. I actually would like to present about the case studies of the new TLDs, how it's being used, and you know, I also would like to show my analysis of would ever many domains change from legend TLDs to new TLDs. Okay, actually I have three sections. The first one is the new identity of the TLDs. And the second one is the case study, pure case study of how the domain names being used with the new GTLDs. And the third one is outlook of TLDs, which is the trend of the market and the companies and communities ever change the TLDs to the new ones. Okay, move on to the first one, new identity. Since new GTLDs were introduced in the market, companies and the communities have more options of domain names. And actually I have three examples here. The top one is actually specific domain names you can actually see in the right column, say .bike and .green, that especially if you are doing the SMEs or if you'd like to show what you do in the market, you can actually show those specific domain names. And this is a very popular category of the new GTLDs out of like 1400, and many of them are like this. And I will show the example later on. The second one is identifying on the web use. This could be used by larger enterprises, and if you see on the right column, say that .web, .blog, and .xyz, which you can actually guess, like this is for the website use or global company use or XYZ, doesn't really mean anything. But when end user actually sees those domain names, you can actually guess the companies are pretty big and not able to explain what they do. But you can just say the business is related to the website or the e-commerce or the global company showing their identity and stuff like that. And the third one is brand TLD. And this is a brand specialized TLDs, and you can see .Canon, .Ferrari, and .Google here. But I guess about 600, 700 brand TLDs have been introduced finally. And well, I'm actually a specialist of the brand TLDs, but I'll show you the examples later on. Next one, examples. This is a case study. Okay, started with a .bike and .green. The top one actually says www.luso.bike. And you can see .bike means bicycle. And this Luso is a company located in Britain that sells merchandise related to bicycle. They actually have those fabric wheels and, you know, some small gears of the bikes and stuff like that. And when end users see the domain name, Luso.bike, they can easily guess that Luso, this company Luso, deals something related to bike. So if you're actually doing something special business like this, or if you're SME, you can easily show what you do, what your actually business is for, what you're approaching to the market, and stuff like that. So this is a very good example of it. And the bottom one is www.generalmotors.green. I guess everyone knows who General Motors is. And talking about the TLD.green, in some languages, green actually means environment or eco. And in Japan and in the States, actually means environment and eco. So when register.green domain name, a part of the registration fee will be donated to an environment conservation groups. So this is a pure eco domain name. And General Motors have a domain name under .green, which is this one. And you can actually show .green website. I mean, General Motors .green is for eco-friendly information and stuff like that. And you can actually see the picture. This is a picture of General Motors electric vehicle. Yeah, you can actually easily guess what this domain name and website is appealing to the market and the consumers. Next one is showing global identity, which is IEC.xyz. Probably everyone knows that Alphabet Inc., which is a holding company of Google, established in August 2015, which was about 2 months ago. And as you see on the website, it says G is for Google. You can guess, like, say, Alphabet is talking about A to Z. And A to Z, actually, the phrase means everything. And when you actually go back to the website, abc.xyz, this actually starts with A and end with Z. So it can easily show us that abc.xyz includes everything, and this also relates to the company name alphabet.inc. Okay, the next one. I'm talking about the brand TLDs here. The first two examples about the brand TLDs of the banks in Europe. The top one is www.home.barclays. This is a British banking corporation. And they actually been using the .brand from the brand domain name since May this year. And before that, they actually did a press release of changing the domain name. So people are constantly accessing to .barclays website other than the .com website now. And the bottom one is mabank.bnp Paribas, which is a French banking corporation. And mabank actually means my bank in French. And the website, so everything is showing in French as well. So if you actually go back to the home.barclays, they actually use one domain name, which is home.barclays, and everything comes back to this website. But if you see the mabank. BNP Paribas. This is like CCTA they use, so only French speakers can actually access this website. So not yet introduced, but if they do English websites or Japanese websites or whatever, it would be like in local language, say my bank, BNP Paribas. So the top line is actually getting all the access to the centralized website, which is the home of Barclays. But if you use the domain names like BNP Paribas, this would be like CCTA they use, and they actually see the importance of access by local people. Like if you're going to get access from Japan, it goes to the Japanese website. If you're going to do it from English-speaking countries, go to the English sites and stuff like that. Next one is an example of BMW. BMW is one of the very first company started using the brand TLEs, but they are still forwarding to the existing websites. And the top one is actually a French site. It says i3-fr.bmw, but it goes to the normal website and just campaigning the i3 BMW car in French language, and the bottom of the German ones. So I guess BMW wants to move to using the .bmw, but seeing testing by forwarding to the legend websites. Next one is the example of the companies in Japan. We actually have around 50 brand TLDs registered here, but I'll just show you two examples. The top one is Team.Suzuki. Suzuki is a motor corporation, famous about smaller cars and motorcycles. And there's a, I think there's a famous motorcycle world championship happened in 2 months ago, and just before that, they started this website, Team.Suzuki, which wasn't promoted on the normal like press release or anything like that. But I think some of motorcycle websites, news sites and stuff like that showed it. But Team.Suzuki is only one page, just a portal website. And if you click global or Japan, it goes to either global site or Japanese site. And bottom one is 2020.NTT. NTT is actually a telecommunication company, the biggest one in Japan, and they also sponsoring the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. But the word on Olympics is you can't actually use it, so I think they changed to 2020. And this is just my guess. NTT may want to start using .NTT, but if you actually move onto the real website, they might have unexpected problems and stuff like that, so they want to do a test. So because they're sponsoring the Olympics, I think it has no large impact if any problem happens, so they just start using 2020.NTT as a test website, I guess. Third section is outlook of TLDs. This is my guess of how the domain name will be changing. In this slide, I'm just showing the examples of the Japanese trend of TLD change. Before the year 2000, .co.jp domain was really popular. And as it says, restricted domain name that a corporate has to be registered in Japan, and it can have only one domain name. So if you see .co.jp domain name, that's genuine, and it's a real website. So people had a safety to access that website. And after year 2000, .jp domain name is introduced. this is not that strict as .co.jp, and it's not only for business use, but the trend in Japan, or maybe in the world, like domain name Shoda would be better. So Shoda.jp domain name is really popular. And so many corporate here, still kept .co.jp, but started.jp domain name is the main website. And this trend actually went so long, but from 2010 to now on, big corporates actually started using .com domain name, because .com easily identifies as a global enterprise, and so many companies here doesn't have to say they are Japanese companies, or the identity of the country or where they're located is not that important. But other than that, showing the identity on the website .com would be better, easily can show the global companies. And from last year, new GTLD actually had started, and some companies started registering the new GTLDs as a protection, but it's not that popular yet. So my question is, could these changes happen to new GTLDs? I mean, Japan actually started using .co.jp and then changed to .jp, then some companies changed to .com, then some of them may apply to use the new GTLDs. Okay, at the next slide. Pie chart is actually taken from VeriSign, the domain and industry brief 2012, issue 3, September 2015, which is recently, and this shows only 2% of the whole domain registration is under new GTLDs. So it is a very small number of it. However, the domain name registration in the last 12 months show the number of registrations are constantly growing, which is the chart below. We actually made this according to ntldstats.com, but you can actually see, hey, comparison to the last year, in the same time, it's more than the double of the domain names registered. But in last 12 months, many TLDs, new GTLDs, were actually introduced. So if you see each TLD's, the registration number is not that big, but this also means the needs, wants, and options are spread into so many domain names. So many companies, from SMEs to the large companies, they have better options now. So it's still a very small number used yet, but if you see the trend, what happened in Japan, companies and communities and individuals may realize the appearance of new GTLDs very soon, and then they probably change it to those new GTLDs in the near future. Okay, that's all about it. Thank you very much. And if any questions, just contact us. So I'll take it back to Kevin.
Okay, thank you, Yoshi. Thank you, Yoshi, for the very interesting presentation. I've seen Yoshi do this a few times, and every time he throws up interesting and examples and fresh perspectives on how people are using the new GTLD. So thank you so much, Yoshi. Now, I will pass this segment to Sylvia now for the moderation of the Q&As. I think we have a question here. Sylvia, over to you.
Hello. Thank you very much, Kelvin. Yes, we are going to start the Q&A. So first, we have Ariel Michal for a science question for Yoshi. For the brand TLD, what are the benefits for those, for example, the banks, and is the cost for getting these TLDs just justifiable? Yoshi?
Okay, the benefits of brand TLDs. I guess it has two different faces. Domain name for corporate use used to be only for protection, but many GTLDs and CCTLDs in the market, they just need to protect it and protect from the third-party use. But if you have brown TLD, that's only one unique cyberspace that a company can have. And it also protects your right from taking by third party, but the marketing impact will be bigger than ever, I think. And from the perspective of the end users, if you see the company name at the end of the domain name, URL, that's genuine website. So for protection reasons and providing the safety environment for the end users and for the marketing impact, I think this is a very beneficial TLDs for the corporate use.
Sylvia, may I ask a question?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ali Al-Mishar for the record. Thanks a lot, Yusufi, for the beautiful presentation. Actually, my point is looking into the financial impact on that or any commercial return out of this. I don't have an exact idea about the cost of getting this type of TLDs, but is the bank getting any return other than the one you just mentioned, which is the protection and the confidence of the their clients? If we take the bank example as a specific, I don't know if the cost they will put in just to get that TLD, and then what will be the financial return on that?
I'm not sure about it yet, but there must be a benefit. Financial benefit as well. First, I don't know. This is really depending on the companies and what they actually think about the approach in the cyber market. But if you have a brand TLD, you can't actually. You do not have to use the other domain names. This doesn't mean they don't have to register it. Still need to register it for the protection, but you don't actually have to activate it. So it might have works better in finance.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Great. Thank you very much. I have another question.
Thanks. Thank you.
From Big Sam. Until today, how many TLDs have registered? This is IC for Steve Chang.
Thanks, Sylvia. Thanks for the question. So to date, there have been 750 TLDs delegated to the DNS.
Okay. Great, thank you. I have another question. I have a question from YJ Park. What is the reaction from other brand companies in Japan regarding the brand TLDs? Are they getting interested? This is for Yoshi.
Okay. We still need to promote a lot in this country. But those are registered brand TLDs, they actively started using it. Like companies like NEC, Hitachi, and some others are already actively using it. So those companies actually are spreading their website to the market, which is good for the market that people actually recognize it. And because of that, they also realize there's so many domains that it's like .bike and .green, so people are starting using it. So still need a bigger promotion that we have to organize, but its recognition is getting bigger and bigger every time.
Great, thank you very much. I have another question from Holly Reich. She says, further, how many of the new GTLDs in use have registered? outside of the U.S. and Europe? I think this could be answered by Steve.
Hi, Sylvia. Thanks. And Holly, thanks for the question. I don't think I actually know the answer to that one. I think I have to come back to you on that. But I think you did have a question about how many IDNs there are, or I guess
yep.
how many were applied for. In terms of how many were delegated, there are 52 delegated IDNs.
Okay.
And actually, just one other quick comment. There were a total of 116 IDNs applied for, some of which were actually identical things. And what I'll also do is actually put a link into the Adobe Connect room so that you can see the program status statistics for yourself.
Great. Thank you very much. I have another question for Steve from YA Park. Steve, how are the community going to treat the rest 580 TLDs which were not included after the evaluation?
Sylvia, I'm not sure I understand the question exactly, but I'll so if you're talking about the applications that are still in the evaluation process, the simple answer is that they will continue through the process, whatever remaining steps there are remaining. Some are in contracting, some are in contention resolution. I think that's what you're asking, but I'm not sure. Feel free to follow up on the question if I didn't answer that properly. Thanks, YJ.
Thank you, Steve. I don't know if YJ would like to reply but or clarify. In the meantime, we can take some more questions. Okay, she will follow up later. Thank you, YA. I don't see more questions typed. Okay. Somebody else would like to ask some questions to the speakers? Okay, I don't see more questions, and we are at the top of the hour. So with this, I would like to thank you very much and ask you please to remain for just 5 minutes to complete our evaluation survey, which will be posted right now on the screen. And this will help us a lot to design our webinars. So you have just a few questions. Yes, please start answering. Question one, in your opinion, is the webinar well structured? Please go ahead. We are recording all this data for to improve this webinar. Okay, Terry, you can go to the next one, I believe. We have all the answers. Everybody has answered. Yes, thank you. Question two, overall, were you satisfied with this webinar? Okay, I think we have all the attendees have answered. Thank you. We can go on to the next one. Question three, what topics would you like ICANN to cover for future webinars? Thank you. Great, thank you. Next one, please. Any other comments or feedback? Please type in your thoughts, ideas. They are all extremely useful for us. Thank you. As we continue developing more webinars. Good. Thank you. Okay. Great. I think with this, I believe some people are still answering. We need more feedback. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much again. And thank you. Special thanks to Yoshi and Steve, our great speakers, and all the attendees from AP Rallo. Thank you so much for joining. And, of course, to Kelvin and Terry and Ariel for their great job organizing the webinar. And to all of you, have a good day in Asia and good afternoon in the rest of the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. See you.
Thank you.
Well, once again, this webinar has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.